Good morning and welcome, friends. It's good to have you worshiping with us here today at Dexter United Methodist Church. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? It's just wonderful to see the beauty of God's creation, a nice cool morning. And so we'll be able to worship inside here together and live stream it to you, but also later on we'll be outside and we won't have to deal with the heat. As you all know, we've been talking and learning more about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in all of us. We have learned that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, always was, and always will be, the great I Am. Much of the information that I gathered today was taken through systematic theology books. There is a series by Thomas Oden, who is a United Methodist pastor, and each of these books, this entire book, is almost any question, anything you'd ever wondered about or asked about or dreamed about to know about God the Father, and then God the Son, and many of these are 500 pages of small print, and then God the Holy Spirit. So if you really wanted to dig into this a little bit more, I would encourage you to, you can borrow one of these books, you can look it up, and we can find out and learn together more of how God is working in our lives and the whole aspect of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Throughout all eternity, God existed in unity, diversity, community, and fellowship, and love. And out of the overflowing love of the triune Godhead, creation was brought into existence. Time began and was measurable. God created the heavens and the earth. All that is or ever will be is only because of God, the God revealed in the Christian Bible. In all religions, humankind is seeking to be in relationship with what they believe to be their creator. There is a desire within all humanity to know and understand, who are we? Why are we here? What is life about? Is there something beyond what we see and we think we know? We are driven to look beyond ourselves. We seek to grow in understanding and knowledge of the mystery and adventure we call life in the universe. Most of humankind seems to feel and understand that there is something beyond themselves. Within us, there seems to be a desire to know and be in relationship with those around us and discover something beyond ourselves. In all religions, there's usually just a list of do's and don'ts that people must follow to measure up to some type of standard that's been laid out. And then at the end of life, we are judged. How did I do? Do my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds? And then hoping and praying that there would be some reward at the end of this journey. There's really little relationship in other religions, just a measuring stick of accountability. Christianity is the only religion where the Creator God seeks to be in relationship with His creation. In all other religions that understands the experiences, God is relational, forgiving, loving. The Christianity is the only religion offering grace upon grace, and yet God is holy and righteous and just and all-powerful and eternal. So with this in mind, let's continue to look into the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about justification and sanctification, two understandings of how God works in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life. Justification is being made right in the eyes of God. Because of the price Christ paid for each of us and all of creation to be reconciled back to God, our sin debt is paid in full. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. We have been justified. Every sin, every act of disobedience, all of rebellion, has been past, present, and future, has been paid in full once you receive and invite Jesus Christ into your life. We have been made righteous in the eyes of God. justice is fulfilled. The debt from our sin and rebellion has been canceled. Scripture tells us in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Friends, that's good news. That's why we are here today, to celebrate and to worship our Lord and Savior and to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Justification is entirely the work of God in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the work that God does for us. There's nothing we can do but simply believe and receive this gift. And then sanctification, then, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping to make us holy, changing us, helping us to desire to become more holy. It's a process. We desire to be a reflection of Christ, sharing the love of Christ in the world and to the world, giving honor and glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So again, sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, calling us out of our sinful temptations and actions in the world to be separated, living as godly and holy people. We have a part to play in this. The Holy Spirit is working in us, and we surrender our will to seek and be obedient to the will of God. So again, justification is totally the work of God for us, and sanctification is the Holy Spirit working in us and with us to become more like him, being a reflection of God's goodness and holiness into the world. It is a process. Scripture tells us we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. As God has revealed more and more to us and in us, work of the Holy Spirit through us, and we move from glory to glory. We see changes that are happening in our lives. We are being transformed. We begin to think differently. We begin to act differently. The things that we used to desire begin to fade away, and our hearts and minds become aligned more with the desires and the purposes that God has for our lives. We are being sanctified, being made holy through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Steve reminded us we are being set apart from the world, but we are also being called into service of God, always giving praise and honor to God. So sanctification plays two roles in our lives. We are being set apart from the things of this world and being made holy, but we are also being sent out, sent into the world to bear witness that what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and testify to the promises of God for all humankind who will follow him. God is a missional God. He left heaven to dwell with us here on earth and to be in relationship with his creation. God is sending us, you and me, into the world to draw others to him. His desire is that people will come to know him and receive his love and grace, and that no one would perish, but have everlasting life in him. We are called to be disciples and ambassadors for Christ, going into the world, reconciling the world back to God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That is our purpose. That is our joy. And that is a blessing. To be used by God for the furtherance of his kingdom, to bear witness, to give testimony to what God is doing in our lives, for the beauty of this world and creation, for the gift of life and the promise of eternal life, to be his ambassadors and his disciples into the world, there is no greater joy, there is no greater blessing. Hear these words from the book written to the church at Corinth. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We live for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hear these words from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, I've been on a number of mission trips, and we've worked locally and regionally and around the world, and I can just remember being with people as we're working on someone else's home, and they'd say, you know, I don't understand this. I've got a honey-do list as long as my arm, and I have zero time to be out here helping someone else, and I'm here working for someone I don't know, and I have this joy inside of me. I feel a blessing that God has given me, and I just don't understand. And then I'd recite this scripture to him and say, that's how we're wired. That's how God made us, to go into the world and do good works that others might know and see his love and goodness and grace. In 2 Corinthians, hear these words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is gone, the old is gone, and there is new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he was committed to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now remember when we started this conversation, we mentioned that God does his part, and we also have a part to play. So don't feel overwhelmed by this assignment to go into the world and be an ambassador or disciple of Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit will go with you and before you. We read how the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He is your guide and counselor and your comforter and provider, providing you power and strength to face the challenges of life. Here are some of these words from Scripture, words that Jesus shared with his disciples. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. He is your counselor. He is with you forever. In John 14:26, we read, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And then John 16:13-15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and that he will make known to you. Do you hear those words? Again, it reminds us that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in fellowship, community, and unity, one God revealed in three persons. They work together in harmony because they are one, calling us to join together with them in the ministry to the world, sending us out in mission, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a minute. The triune Godhead has invited us to join in ministry with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to go into the world and bear witness to the good news of God's love and grace and forgiveness. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? That's just amazing that what God has called us to join him and be a part of this ministry of reconciliation and being disciple-making disciples. I'd like us to turn to Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. This is often referred to as the Great Commission. It reads, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now I want to take a minute just to break this down a little bit as we read this passage. It starts by saying that they went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now isn't that a good sign? Because oftentimes when you read through scriptures, the disciples were not always very obedient. They didn't always understand what God was calling them to do. Right off, here's a sign. They did what God had asked them to do. And then we read they worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus because they knew and believed he was the Son of God. God made flesh and living amongst his people. To be called the Son of God in those biblical times was to be equal or equivalent with God. If you are called the son of something, you are equal with that. And that's one of the reasons that the Pharisees wanted to crucify him, is when he said, I am the Son of God. Again, this is pointing to a triune Godhead. Then it says, some doubted. After everything the disciples had been with Jesus during all that time, they still doubted. How many of you doubt? I know I have my struggles. There's times, I even hate to admit it, that I have doubts and wonder, God, are you going to come through on this? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I really following your will? I need you. We all have doubts from time to time, but I want to encourage you and even challenge you to step out in faith anyway and claim the promises of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the next verse. If you had any doubts, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. So Jesus is again encouraging the disciples, stop your doubting. Listen to me. Follow me. Obey me. Step out in faith and let me work in your life. I am sending you the Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to be with you during these times. The Holy Spirit will go with you. Then he commands that as you're going, make disciples of all nations. Not just the people you like, not just the people you think might listen to you, not just the people you think deserve it, but of all nations, of all people. Go and make disciples of all nations. All means all. No exceptions. Now listen to this carefully, because I've read this numerous times and heard it preached, and I missed it. But I think it's an interesting little nuance. It says, we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? He didn't say names. He's mentioning three names, and yet he said names, singular. Again, emphasizing, pointing to the fact, one God revealed in three persons. I thought that was interesting. I thought that was kind of an interesting point. And again, I got it from some of the commentaries in the reading. I'd like to say I found that out, but I did not. I'd like you to hear these words now from Dr. Timothy Tennant. I don't know how many of you know, he's the president of Asbury Seminary. I attended there when I was doing my Master's of Divinity. I believe that Tim is taking some classes there, and Matt also got his doctorate there. And Dr. Tennant is a wonderful teacher, preacher, and I'd like to share some words with you that I read. And he again is talking about the Great Commission, often referred to as the Great Commission, that the Holy Spirit is going with us. It reads, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not just commanded ethically and morally to go and make disciples. You are compelled by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, knowing the Holy Spirit will go with you and before you. The Holy Spirit was continuing to extend the presence and power of the resurrection of Christ through the witness of the church. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. He continues, the commission, the Great Commission, was no longer merely an outward command or an ethical demand. It is now personified by the missionary spirit's indwelling presence. We are not just confronted with a command, but by Jesus himself. Let me say that again. We are not just confronted by a command to go and make disciples, but by Jesus himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to make disciples. Friends, we've been called out of our comfort zones to go into the world, into our workplaces, our homes, our neighborhoods, locally and around the world to make disciples for Jesus Christ. You are being called. What will be your answer? I want to share with you two more key concepts that as I was working through Scripture that they stuck out to me, and I want to share them with you. There is a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you invite Jesus Christ into your life, when you accept him as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit enters into your life. You receive the Holy Spirit. The indwelling, often referred to as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are numerous scriptures that talk about receiving the Holy Spirit. If you just go online and Google receiving the Holy Spirit, I think you'll get almost 50 to 100 scriptures. Let me read a few of them to you. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 8:17 says, "And then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit." Remember when Jesus met with the disciples up in the upper room after his death, and they were all hiding in the room wondering what next was going to happen, and suddenly he appeared to them in the room. The doors were locked, and this is what he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And when he said that, he breathed on them, said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And yet we didn't see anything profound happen at that time. No great works accompanied that time. But they received the Holy Spirit. As followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit and have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. But sometimes we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is different. Being filled with the Holy Spirit happens when you surrender your will and seek to follow the will of God. You invite the Holy Spirit to work in you in a fuller way. The scriptures teach us clearly the difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and the indwelling is similar, but being filled by the Holy Spirit is different. The idea is one of being controlled by God's Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, rather than by other forces. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we see an attitude of joy and thanksgiving. We see a relational posture of humility toward God and the submission to one another. Some Christians describe this by saying, believers have all the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit may not have all of them. Let me say that again. As I hate to admit it, it's often been true of me, that as believers we have all the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit may not have all of us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit at the time of our salvation, but we are filled by him when we submit to him. When we truly submit to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can work more fully in us and through us. There's a noticeable difference in these scriptures of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me share some with you. There's even times in the Old Testament when it says, "And he was filled with the Holy Spirit," or "the Spirit of God fell upon him." It said those were momentary times because Christ had not come in the whole death and resurrection and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. But it would still fall upon people from time to time. In Exodus 35, 31, we read, and he was filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all craftsmanship. Acts 11, 24, it says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then in Paul's conversion, we read these words in Acts. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just a few scriptures on, it says, from that time on, Paul began proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, 8, we read, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And later we even read when he was being stoned, he looked up into heaven, and it says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And then hear these words. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are compelled by the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ to draw near to Him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you learn and desire to serve Him, to love Him, and go into the world and making disciples for Jesus Christ. God is a missionary God. God entered into creation to be in relationship with His creation, to share His love, His message of holiness, truth, grace, and love, and reconciling the world back to Him. We are called to join Him in this ministry of reconciliation. We are sent into the world to be His disciples and ambassadors through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Amen? Amen. Listen to this prayer. I hope it might speak to you and challenge you that you might say some words similar to this. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me for your glory, that others might come to know you as Savior and Lord. Help me to become an instrument of your will. I submit my life to you. I surrender all of me to you. Help me to say and truly live out the words, not my will, but thy will be done in and through me by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to claim those words today. Claim them for yourself and invite the Holy Spirit to fill you overflowing and go into the world to bear witness to His love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.